All right, let's take it national. It's a real Kipper and Bourne show live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in...
Taylor Swift?
Not Taylor Swift. We tried to book her.
We told Sam well in advance.
Her show doesn't come on for a few hours, right?
Well, when I was...
Couldn't get her?
When I was in the motorcade, I was waving at her. I was like, hey, Taylor!
Come on, the Real Kipper and Bourne. Come on!
She's like, no, we got bad blood. That's what she said.
No, she said, you know what she said?
This guy's ugly.
It's Friday, and I can't dare take Doug McLean's spot.
No, she knows. She wants to listen to Doug McLean when he comes on. So
in a few minutes, we'll welcome in Mac. And then later on in the show, Halford and Ruff, our friends in Vancouver.
Both have been on the show multiple times.
They've been on the show multiple times.
The best.
In the morning, they had Marty McSorley on. And I don't think Marty has ever spoken in Vancouver since that stick incident 20-plus years ago.
Mm. You mean when he was slashed Brashear in the head?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think
stick incident's a way to put it. When he slashed him in the
head. Okay. He had a legal curve?
Right.
He did once.
Yeah.
He broke a stick? What happened?
So he went on this morning, and I just found it fascinating.
It's, to me, one of the better sports radio interviews in some time.
It's electric.
Don't really have time to get into it, but we will a little later on in the show because I want to get your thoughts. I'm not sure you guys were born when that happened.
Oh, I was born.
What year was that? What do you think I am?
That was like...
What year was that, honestly?
2002?
I was in grade six.
2000? Or 2002.
Doesn't help me at all.
I was born in 1988, so do that. Yeah. Anyways, I was in grade six. I remember we had to do like a project every day where he'd bring in like something from the newspaper and talk about it in the class. I brought in four different McSorley articles. I was like, we have to talk about this. It was a big...
What a producer. You were always producer. Oh, you were bringing them the story of the day.
Yeah, always.
So if Vancouver, if McSorley going on their show isn't the biggest story, I mean, a loss... At home to the Islanders is the biggest.
But I mean, what was the stat I saw yesterday? The Canucks didn't have a shot within 20 feet of the net through two periods of a game against the Islanders at home yesterday.
I got to tell you, I watched a lot of that game.
Why?
No disrespect.
This is my favorite team. Two teams I love.
I was up. And Sportsnet Plus fired up on the TV watching away. They were putrid.
Yeah.
Putrid effort. And, you know, we can play the clip later after we go talk to Doug, but, you know, talks, apologizing to the fans. I was like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Not pretty.
Nope.
All right. In for Taylor Swift today, because we couldn't book her. It's too close to the show, Mac. That's why you're on today. Let's welcome in Doug McLean, former NHL president, GM, head coach, and Swifty.
You got a friendship bracelet on?
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it. I love, there's nothing like Fridays for me. You know, it's like just it's like Christmas.
If you were here, would you go to Taylor Swift's concert or would you sell the ticket?
What's with the motorcade to bring her in town? Like, are you kidding me? Like, what is that all about? Who's paying for that? Taxpayers pay for that? Like, what a joke.
You would take that kind of entrance any day of the week.
Like, I'm just shaking my head at that. Like, the president of wherever, I'm not going to say United States, wouldn't get a reception like that.
So would you sell your ticket or would you go to that show? Because you are a concert guy, you and Jill.
I would give it to my daughter because she loves Taylor Swift.
Oh, there you go.
Loves her. She saw her in Cincinnati, said it was the best show she's ever been to, so... And, you know, she thinks she's terrific.
Awesome. Okay. So
we found out how important she is in USA politics. Her and J-Lo really did. And Oprah didn't really swing it for Kamala.
The T-Swift endorsement didn't get it done.
Not quite the difference makers.
Listen, I was just thinking, they said there was an article, and I thought of you guys when I heard it, that Camilla and the Democrats paid Oprah $1 million for that interview.
Really? Is that why she ran out of money?
Oh, 100%. And then I thought, Well, you're doing pretty well on Kipper's show. You know, that's, you know, it's not bad, you know. $1 million. Like, give me a break. What a joke.
So what you're saying anyway, is she should have been free like you are with us right now.
Listen, talk it instead of apologizing to the fans, he should apologize to the owner and the GM, maybe. That's who I'd be apologizing to.
Mac, and of course you're alluding to Rick Tocchet, who you know, had some pretty interesting words after the game, including the one that kind of surprised me the most was Patrick Waugh out-coached me. How surprised were you to hear those words from Rick Tocchet?
Shocked, because look, you get enough criticism from the outside noise, from people telling you you can't coach, you know, from the owner on down at times. You don't have to give it to yourself. Like, just wait till they come after you and then deal with it then. But don't set it up for them. Don't set it up that your team has been absolutely lousy at home and playing light hockey, which he referred to as well in his interview. I mean, I know he's such a straight shooter and such an honest guy. I get where he's coming from, but don't take any more heat than you really have to. There's enough that goes with the job.
That Canucks team is 8-4-3 at this point. But that feels like some of the losses haven't been overly pretty. What are your thoughts on that roster? You know, he got the most out of it last year possible, career years from a number of guys. They win the division. Are they good enough? Do they have the talent for that to be the expectation again?
Look, I'll tell you two kids that have just blown me away, and that's the two Hughes brothers. You know, what they have meant to their teams, the Canucks and the Devils, is at that age, to me, is so impressive. It's amazing. So, you know, they're like he said, they're playing very light at home. I mean, I've heard of you playing light on the road, but usually guys don't play light at home. Are they as good as we think they are? I thought they were a pretty good team. I thought they were a pretty good team this year. I thought they would be better. I know, you know, Demko is a major hole. Zadorov, as bad as he's been in Boston, is a big hole on their back end. Their defense is overrated right now, and they're not, you know, it's hot and cold, which a lot of teams are. I mean, we see it on a nightly basis. So I wouldn't write them off. No,
you know, the light comment. I get what you're saying, that he's just thinking that they didn't play hard enough, maybe. Or is there a chance that it's also a message to his general manager that we aren't built heavy enough? I need to get heavier in the roster. Is that a possibility, or that's not Rick?
I don't think that's Rick. I really think if Rick, I suspect Rick has a great relationship with Jimmy and Alvin. And I would have that conversation with them versus throwing it out in the media. I just don't think it's worth your while to say things that, first of all, apologizing to the fans. You know what? Yeah, okay, I get it, I guess. But don't bring any more on yourself than the job already entails, you know? They're a decent team. Are they a Stanley Cup contender? They think they are. I thought at the first of the year they were going to be tough to beat in that division. I really did. It's going to be fun to see, you know, with Winnipeg, with, you know, with the way these teams are playing, who knows? And it's not going to hold up, I know. Mm-hmm.
Let's move one province over and talk about the Oilers, who last year were within a game and a goal of winning a Stanley Cup for the Edmonton Oilers, for the province of Alberta in general. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Flames fans wouldn't like it. What are your thoughts on Connor McDavid getting to 1,000 points, Doug?
You know what? At my age, I'm hoping I'll see him get to 2,000, then I'll really be excited. You know, I think it's just unbelievable. And the way he did it, you know, big play, big goal. You know, this guy just never ceases to amaze me how talented he is. He's that good. He makes everybody around him better. He's a consummate pro. He's Wayne when Wayne was in his prime as the way he handles the media, the way he handles his teammates. I just think it's, you know, he's had it since he was 6 years of age, and these kids are groomed that way. I think he's just, he's special. I mean, it is what he did in the playoffs last year, how he rallied the troops, how he sets the tone in the dressing room, which really surprised me when I saw that clip. I didn't expect that from him, but this guy's a leader. He's pretty, well, everybody knows he's special. But I like to look at the downside of things, though, you know, on Fridays. I don't like to be ultra positive. I said to Nick the other day, like, the worst thing that can happen to a GM in your job is 15 games into the season, you have to fix the mess that you created in July and August.
So who's that?
Yes.
And that's Nashville and Pittsburgh right now. They both created the messes in July and August, the GMs, and now they've got to fix the mess. And it's not easy when you have, especially in Nashville, when you've got to, when you say to your players, well, if this doesn't, you guys don't wake up, I'm going to start the rebuild. You got to handle this really delicately. Because you've got a group in the dressing room with big ears. And I think it's a tough situation for both those GMs because they created it. And like Dubas knows, if he fires Sullivan, which is actually out there, some conversation about that, I'm thinking, are you serious? That's not the problem because you know where Sullivan will end up 5 minutes after he's fired.
Boston.
Exactly. So... You know, I dare say that's the problem, although it's starting to gain a little bit of traction, which shocks me, you know?
I think the Fenway group's a big Sullivan fan, too, the Fenway group.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah.
I've
how much did they like interview losing?
Didn't he interview Dubas for the job?
Sullivan?
I thought he was involved in the interview process. If that's the case, he should not interview anybody else anymore. He should step away from that.
Yeah. I can't confirm it, but I have heard whispers that, you know, Sullivan was very much part of it. That's how respected he is in that.
Ownership. As they say, as my mother used to say, I'm not telling you it's the truth. I'm just telling you what I heard.
I like it. I love it. Let me ask you about Winnipeg Jets losing to Tampa, and I'm not here to suggest that coaches want their team to lose, but is there a sense of relief maybe from Scott Arneil or others that, like, okay, we weren't going to go on this torrid pace forever. It's okay that we can pull it back a little bit and regroup. Maybe we've won a couple of games we shouldn't have or, you know, got bounces, but does this kind of, you know, make a coach say now we can, you know, just focus on the things that we need to do, opposed to carrying this feeling that we got to continue to be the hottest team to ever start a season in history.
As long as he doesn't lose two or three in a row, you know, and that's what you're, every time you lose a game, you're starting to think about the next game. And then you look ahead at the next three games, say, oh, this could get ugly, you know, but here's what Scott Arneil has done. They're in the playoffs. This start alone has guaranteed them a playoff spot, which going into the season, nobody would have said they're a guarantee to make the playoffs. You know, they've always had a good team. So that should take a fair amount of pressure off. I like the way they're playing. I really do. And Scott, I didn't think Scott was going to be the man there. And he has done a great job. Now, let's not kid ourselves. Hellebuck is all. It's all about Hellebuck. Their blue line has been pretty solid. As I mentioned last week, a couple of guys in that 5-6 hole have been real good for them. Morrissey's a star. Connors is a star. Their second line has been a lot better and faster than anybody thought they'd be. Everybody thought they didn't have a second line. It's been one of their best lines. So I like what's going on there. I think it's really good. It's great. Listen, there was conversation 6 months ago that this wasn't going to survive as a franchise, guys. Season tickets were tough. You know, the fan base was getting agitated. It was starting to percolate a little in Winnipeg. Not that it's going to happen, but there was a lot of conversation about that. Again, I'm just telling you what I heard. I don't know if it's the truth.
We love hearing what you've heard, Doug. It's all interesting stuff. Have you heard anything about the goaltending of Linus Ullmark in Ottawa? That's a team that I've got my eye on. That's playing pretty darn well, but he buried them last night, I thought.
Horrendous.
Yeah.
So I watched the Leafs in Ottawa the other night, and I thought it was men against boys. I was blown away how impressed I was with Ottawa. I know Toronto had an off game, didn't play very well. They're missing Matthews. I thought it was an embarrassment, that game. And I thought, wow, this Ottawa team looks good. And with Ullmark, they've got a chance to do some damage. They've got to get him in a rhythm here. And all of a sudden, he drops this one on them last night where he was horrible, cost them the game. They were still as dominant against Philly as they were at home, as they were against Toronto on the road. Still as dominant, and he let in three horrendous goals. Horrendous goals. So now what happens? They're going on the road. They're going to play Carolina on the road, who just got beat up by Utah, who's going to be a nasty group. And then they got Vegas and Edmonton. And now they've got to go with Forsberg in the next game.
Really?
They've got to go with Forsberg.
Yeah. Really?
I think they're going with Forsberg.
Too scared to go back and say, you know, here's your chance to redeem yourself quickly?
I was told today that it probably will be Forsberg. I'd go back to Ullmark. I thought he should have played Ullmark. We talked about this last week. I thought he should have stayed with him after he lost in Buffalo 5-1. You know, I thought he should have come back with him. He's his guy. But listen, guys, when you get a boatload of money, when you get a $50 million or whatever they're giving these guys, it doesn't, like Saros gets the big hit in Nashville. He's not their problem, but he hasn't been nearly as good, guys. When guys hit the big Swayman in Boston, I know he missed camp. That's an excuse. But when you get this boatload of money, it takes a while to work through it.
Well,
if Ullmark plays the way he's capable of, Ottawa's going to make the playoffs, and they're going to do some serious damage in the playoffs. That team with that Tkachuk kid, I don't know what it is. Well, I know what it is about the Tkachuks, but I absolutely love this kid in Ottawa. I think he's a horse. I think he's going to will this team the way his brother did. I'm blown away watching this kid, how hard he plays and how he competes. 30-goal scorer, but he's going to be a horse. He's going to be a guy that plays in the playoffs. So I really like their team right now. So we'll see.
Money, I'm telling you right now, because I first met you in Washington when you were broke. You were a lot nicer back then. Our money changes.
Listen,
you.
I just watched David Poile go in the Hall of Fame, and he fired me with 2 weeks left in my contract, with $500 in the bank, and Jill was pregnant, and I had to be out of the country because I had no medical insurance. And he goes in the Hall of Fame. Congratulations, David. I'm really happy for you. I rebounded after that.
Yeah, you sure did.
I think Angela Duckworth would say, you learned grit. He taught you grit.
If David's listening, David, I'm just kidding.
Sure
I'm just
you
kidding,
are.
David.
Don't believe him, David.
Yeah.
He's really like this.
All right, so this is that Ottawa team better than Boston? What's going on in Boston? They just got smoked last night.
Are you serious?
They might miss the playoffs.
You're not serious.
I'm dead serious.
You're not serious. Are they better? Well, the way they're playing right now, they're better than Boston. The way they're playing.
Not even close?
I think they are. Not even close, the way they're playing right now. Well, but you know what, guys? We'll see. I mean, look at the Leafs. Look at the Leafs. I watched the Leafs against Ottawa. They didn't show up, okay? I watched them against Washington, and I shut it off after 3-1 because they gave me no indication they were coming back in that game.
Agreed.
But here's the situation, and I said this. When you're out in a fancy restaurant having dinner and the big guy with all the money leaves the table and goes without picking up the tab, the guys that are left at the table have to divvy up, you know, and pay the bill. Well, the Leafs that are left over at that table after Matthews left with all the money, they haven't divvied it up yet. They did for 5 minutes in the third period in Washington, which I was really excited about. But the boys still at the table. Mariner's been terrific. Nylander's got to be better. There's a whole slew of them got to be better.
What They've got McMahon. They've got Holmberg. Robertson's still in the mix. You really have no choice but to keep going back to the well and waiting for them. Do you start looking for secondary scoring, Mac, or a centerman now? Do you just wait it out? Because they are... We assume they're going to be comfortable in that Atlantic, either 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah, there's no doubt they're making the playoffs. They've. I'm shocked at the way some of these passengers have been playing. Really, I thought when Matthews went out that it would. You know, I mean, look, I know Marner's played really well, and Nylander's been up and down. He gives up one, he creates a great one, but the last two games, I mean, Washington gave that one away, gave it away. And the night before against Ottawa, the Leafs were a no-show. And I mean, the McMahons and these guys, I don't know. I mean, I've never liked them at playoff time. I don't think I've never really loved their bottom six. We've talked 4 years about it, and I don't know if it's any better. I don't know if it's any better.
Yeah, it does remain to be seen. Do you think that their goaltending situation is the best it's been? Is that enough to make a big difference for them?
Well, the big kid has been so good, and Wall gave them a good performance. So, look, yeah, I think their goaltending's fine. Nyes has surprised me. He's playing like a bull. He's making big plays. He's battling. It's now, as Nick said, he's going to be too expensive. They'll have to trade him at the deadline. Is that what you were inferring? They have to trade him at the deadline, Nick, that he's going to get too much money, or do you think they should keep him?
Never mention that, but thanks.
But it's a good direct ask. I like that.
Thanks. Thanks for reading.
That's what I read into it, that you were just sharpening him up, tree living, giving tree living a little warning that he's going to be up against. As I've always said, hey. Nick is tight with the PA. There's no denying that.
Listen, tree knows. He's got some options, as the players do.
I know they do. It's great. Yeah. So look, it's wide open. There's some team Jersey or like what's going on there. Again, we go back to Hughes and these kids. I mean, they toyed with the Panthers for two games, and this is a good Panther team. You know. By the way, Jeff Rimmer invited me to a Panther game the other night. He phoned me and invited me to the game.
He still talks to you.
You're friends with Jeff Rimmer?
He bought me a cheese sandwich at Starbucks last week. I couldn't believe it. He asked, he wanted to meet at Starbucks. I said on a show the other day, he's sour. He may go back to broadcasting because he's pissed off that Sam Rosen's getting so much notoriety, more than he got. So he thinks he may want to go back.
So when
he invited me to the game, he said, I'm pretty sure I can get you a press pass. That's the invite.
So does Starbucks make up for the fact that he never mentioned you in his speech when he retired?
No, and then I didn't deserve the mention. I only hired him about four times. I gave him a job about four times. Why would I get mentioned in his retirement speech? JD made his career. You know, JD. Good God. Anyway. Don't mention Doug McClain, the guy that he phoned me when he was with the Panthers because they cut his salary to $200 a week during the lockout.
Okay,
and
all right.
He's begging me for a job. But anyway, that's okay.
All right,
that's
all
for
right.
another show.
Okay.
Let's
get back to the NHL. Let's get back to the NHL. Marty St. Louis and the Montreal Canadiens, they're going through a bit of a rough time here. Shut out the other night. Listen, Marty's not going anywhere unless Marty wants to leave and do something else now. So what can change there in the next little while? Do they have even enough on the bench to help Marty?
You got an experienced head coach who is a Hall of Famer, just a tremendous player. And what can you say about it? But he needs some help. He needs some coaching help. And so Jord Gallant is sitting in Summerside, former assistant coach with the Montreal Canadiens with Therrien.
Had success.
Had success. The players really like him. He knows how to talk to players. I mean, an associate coaching role there. I don't know if Jouard would take it. I'm not sure he would. But I know one thing, I'd be calling him and talking to him and saying, hey, you know, we can use you. And I think if it's not Girard, it's somebody else. He needs some help coaching.
Wouldn't that be admitting a mistake, hiring someone to help the coach?
I'd rather admit a mistake than get fired.
Well,
you know,
I don't think his job's in jeopardy. No one gets that impression.
His job's not in jeopardy now, right? But it's going to be.
He's got
you got to win some games.
He's got Letowski, Trevor Letowski on the bench, and he's got Stefan Robida.
Yeah, who also hasn't coached more than a few
years. And you know what? I had Trevor in Columbus, and I love the guy. He's a terrific guy, a terrific guy. But let me tell you something. To bring in a veteran coach to work with you, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, look at the guys that have been hired by John Cooper, you know, with the experienced guys that he's put behind a bench with him. Lots of guys do that. I just think it's, you know, I just think they need it. I mean, they look like they're a decent team the last 20 games. They look horrendous right now. It's frightening watching them.
Doug, where do we find you these days?
You know what? I've been walking the beach a lot. I haven't been sunbathing, but I've been walking the beach a lot. I've been swimming a ton.
You're looking lean.
For conditioning. I'm doing yoga. What else am I doing, Jill?
Being a pain in her ass. That's what else.
I'm heading to the rooftop bar at Nick's Hotel here in Delray, the Ray Hotel. I'm going to head up there tonight, meet some friends at the my sister and her husband. I'm going to meet them at the rooftop bar at the Ray. Last night we went to J&J Seafood. We wandered up the avenue. So I've been busy, really, really busy.
I want to be that kind of busy. That's the busy I'm striving for.
And I'm got my paperback. As you guys know, draft day came out in paperback, so I've been pushing that a little bit. You know. So, you know, it's everything's pretty good. I'm busy. I'm watching a lot of hockey. By the way, I stepped up. This show cost me money. I want you to know that. It cost me money.
We're not paying you, but now it's costing you money.
Yeah. I just bought a new 65-inch TV so I can watch games, so I can be more accurate on this show. And it cost me $900 US.
Yeah, but that's not that doesn't have anything to do with us. It's like when you're well over 65, you buy a 65-inch screen.
I thought you need a screen that big to see the font on your text,
yes,
Doug.
You're basically blind is what you're telling us.
I just wanted to see the game in a more detailed vision so I could be more accurate on this show.
I'm scared for our game. That you're watching.
I've listened to you guys when I'm not on, and
yeah, it's boring.
Sammy was okay the other day. Don't let him get. He's got a big enough head as it is. You don't want him to But I didn't even know it was him. I thought it was Borny there.
Great job filling in for Taylor Swift in our opening block here. Really appreciate it. Thanks for doing this, Max.
Thanks a lot for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it.
It's a real honor.
Doug McClain, waiting for the Amazon guy to bring him his 65-inch television.
Send the invoice for that to Sportsnet. I wonder how that would go.
It'd kill for his problems.
All right.
I will say, if there's one thing, you know, we always talk about how much inflation there is in the world and how much everything costs.
The price of a TV is through the floorboards.
If there's one thing that's gone way cheaper, it's unbelievable TVs. Yeah. You go to Costco, it's like, it's a TV, 90-inch, $10.
Yeah. So when did plasma come out? Like,
I don't know.
In the early 2000s?
Like expensive.
No, like 17 grand. Like 20 grand.
Did you pay that?
Please. No, not a chance.
Okay.
But no, we just had, we had a friend of ours move to town here. And yeah, we went to Costco, got a 55-inch TV. It was like $290.
Yeah, it's absurd.
All right.
Pretty awesome. First plasma was made when?
1964?
I don't know if that's true.
We're getting bad information. He says yes.
Okay.
All right, Derek.
Okay. We will fact check that one in the break.
Yes, we will.
Game time. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, I've been a very good boy so far this show, and I haven't mentioned my beloved Argos that are in the Grey Cup. It's a Grey Cup weekend. Great Canadian tradition. Everybody makes fun of the CFL. I get it.
We don't.
Borny does all the time. He takes any chance to make fun of the CFL.
Here's the thing. I genuinely respect and enjoy the CFL. I like to bother you.
Yeah, it does.
It's like one of the things I can bother you.
It really does bother me. Anyways, my beloved Argos are in the Grey Cup. They're playing the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. A classic matchup. Argos own the Blue Bombers in the Grey Cup. I forget what the record is, but they beat them every time they go. Anyways, everybody knows Chad Kelly ravaged his ankle in a very gross fashion, broke his ankle. He's out for it. Nick Arbuckle is the quarterback for the Argos. They are 9.5-point dogs to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in the Grey Cup. Huge underdogs, +350 on the money line. Give me the Argos in a big upset. They're going to take down the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. They own them in the Grey Cup.
My favorite thing about the Argos is Sammy telling me that it's like the last place you can go that is not like a super corporate, you know, milk everyone for every dollar sporting event. And it really enjoys going.
It's the best. It's the best crowd. I couldn't love it more. And watch the Grey Cup on Sunday. Sorry. Last thing I'll say. Another big event tonight. Mike Tyson is fighting again tonight. Mike Tyson is fighting Jake Paul tonight. I think Jake Paul, right? Not the other one. No, it's Jake Paul.
Okay. For the record, I just hate that Mike Tyson at close to 60 feels the need to do
this. They have to be giving him $10 million. $10 million has to be the floor for this.
Which makes it even sadder.
Yeah, no, it's a very sad spectacle. Nothing about it is uplifting societally.
Very, very sad.
Yeah.
Very sad.
But now, what's sadder? Granted, I would love to see Mike Tyson punch this fella in the face and knock him out. That would delight me a great deal, but it's not going to happen.
So the line is Jake Paul is a -250 favorite over 58-year-old Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson is +200 tonight. I feel like
I just hope he doesn't get hurt.
I feel like Mike's got to get him early.
So
got to catch him early if it's going to happen. But I also feel like it's, maybe
I'm one of those guys with 15 different subscriptions. So yeah. I have Netflix. Yeah. Does that mean I can watch it?
I don't know.
Because
I think
if so. This was like,
I think so.
If this was call up your cable company and pay $79,
no.
I'm not paying another dime for it. I'm getting it for free with my subscription.
Oh, you do? I thought you had to pay extra.
I will watch it.
I think it's just streaming on Netflix if you have Netflix.
Oh.
If you have Netflix and you get
they're
to watch
to
it.
They're trying to grab people who wouldn't normally subscribe and add the service. That's the idea.
And then you forget about it and then they ding you forever.
Yeah, they're paying Chappelle, $50 million for a stand-up bit. I'm sure they don't mind throwing bunch of cash. Money with this.
I will watch it if I'm already getting it, but I won't go search for it.
There are some things that can make you feel a little better about it. Instead of the 10-ounce gloves, they're 14-ounce gloves, so hopefully not as much damage. They're 2-minute rounds instead of 3. I only see Mike at the end of a 3-minute round.
I'm really hoping Mike punches his face.
Yes, that would be awesome.
It would be great.
This is not good for the history of boxing.
It's kind of the way it's going where it's like these guys see John Jones and UFC talking about how he can probably make more money doing show fights than fighting the best guys.
I don't think there's a scarier human being in the history of Earth than prime Mike Tyson. And
no,
I don't think
I
don't
think
60-year-old Mike Tyson.
I don't think this does
scary.
This does nothing for his legacy, though. No one's going to be like, oh, remember that time he took the bag to fight Jake Paul? No one's going to be
like, you see what he said about, take a knee.
Did you see what he said about legacy?
Yeah, I did.
To a 14-year-old girl who asked about
it. That's one of the funniest clips of all time.
Don't worry about it. We're all going to die.
It's almost like Mike's Mike's.
Oh, good old Mike. Anyways. That was a very interesting edition of Game Time presented by Bet365.
Right.
Visit the app latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, we're going to break because when we come back, we want to talk about Marty McSorley, who went on Vancouver radio earlier this morning on Halford and Brough.
Yep.
And, we're talking about it.
Hey, great interview.
Save it. More after this.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, our thanks to Doug McClain for driving it in the ditch on a Friday for us. He never disappoints us.
Do people know who Jeff Rimmer is? He kills Jeff Rimmer on the show.
God, he's hard on Rimmer.
He was the play-by-play guy for Columbus and Florida. Yeah.
And Washington. We were all together in Washington.
Okay. So Doug hired him in both those places.
Yes. That's right.
And gives me very hard time. Oh. To the point where we couldn't get Jeff Rimmer on the show when we tried once.
He's like, oh,
yeah, he's the first guy to not make an excuse and just say, no, I'll pass.
Oh, my God. Anyways.
All right.
Okay.
Speaking of contentious interviews.
Jamie, the PM, sent me a tweet saying that Marty McSorley was on the morning show, Halford and Brough, and wanted to get our thoughts on it. And he's from Coquitlam, B.C.
Mm-hmm.
So,
good pronunciation, bud.
Yeah. So I went and found it. Mm-hmm. Mm. And I couldn't stop listening to it.
I'll be honest. Sometimes you have audio, like you have to listen to things or whatever. And I heard the first like 19 seconds of it. And all of us sat and listened to every second of it for 20 some minutes.
So just to put it into context, Marty's there for a Vancouver Giant event.
Mm-hmm.
And he's never.
Which is the WHL team.
Yes.
Not, yeah.
And he's never spoken to a Vancouver audience, at least. I that's what I remember him saying.
Yeah.
And he did this morning. And here's a quick little
Just a snippet.
I'm looking at the video right now, Marty, and it's like, I don't.
Hey, listen, I got a question for you. Is this interview about the Donald Brashear incident, or are we going to talk about the Vancouver Giants?
That's where it got to.
And just for the
record. That's where it got to.
No, that's where it got to after like 20 minutes. That wasn't the start.
Great content.
That wasn't the start of the interview. That was the end of the interview where they specifically got into it.
Like talking about Marty was breaking down what he's trying to do.
Like it happened yesterday.
Yeah.
They completely broke
they said,
it down.
If you could redo the events of, is it February 1st, 2001, what would you do? And Marty goes, I'd try to cross-check him.
I'd cross-check him so he'd fight me. Was what he said.
And then Brough follows up with like, well, if you could talk to him today, what would you say to him? And I'm not, at no point is Marty like, I'd say sorry.
Well, I think the guys were kind of disappointed that there wasn't more remorse or acceptance of responsibility that they weren't going to get from Marty.
And I'll tell you what, Marty didn't back down. He hung in there. He believes what he believes, and he...
Okay, I think Marty did a fabulous job because he was not apologetic. And
fabulous.
Like,
I think he probably should have.
You know, he's apologetic for the outcome.
Yeah.
And the thing that kind of stuck out to me the most out of that 20 minutes listening to Marty is that, guys, I wasn't the first one in the game to have a reaction like this, and I probably won't be the last one. And yet everybody feels like this was like the most horrific stick incident event in the history of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't. And Marty really tried to kind of explain to them that.
What's worse, Kemp?
Oh, my God. Go Google. Go Google. Go Google. Anything you want. Go watch Brad. Like, Vancouver's been around this before. Go watch Brad May on... In the early 2000s, get 20 game suspension. They're all in the same family, guys.
Okay, so if your point is that there are five other incidents that were also awful, okay.
Yeah.
This one was the worst.
But no. It should have been in the mix of those. Where's the longest suspension in NHL history for a stick incident?
For a stick incident?
It's probably this one.
Yeah, how many games?
I'm not sure.
I'll tell you. Like, over 1,000.
What do you mean?
Marty McSorley was suspended indefinitely, and he just faded off into the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was never, this act cost you 20 games, 25 games, 30 games. They just hung it out there. Technically, he's still suspended. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, is the point that Marty want to play and they said no? Like, I'm sure.
He just never had a job and he never needed to go back to Gary to get
right. No one picked him up after that.
So it's like it just hung out there.
Yeah.
But like Brad May hit Steve Hines maybe in the early 2000s. That cost him 20 games. Dave Brown on Sandstrom with the Rangers fly. Like, they're all bad.
Okay.
They're all bad.
Sure.
So this one happened, but this one kind of got left out there, and it was made out to be way worse than anything we've ever had in the history of the game. And Marty's today in the on the show, Marty tried to explain, like it's just not the end result. Mm-hmm. Like, we've acted like this before, and there's reasons behind what happened, but I don't think the guys were that interested in
but the end result, Kip, if you drive drunk enough, a lot of people drive drunk and get home, but if you hit someone when you're being reckless, the punishment's more severe.
It is, but the punishment also has a range. And where the range is the circumstances around that. So you could actually, you can kill somebody and still in our society find a way to not be guilty. Mm-hmm. Like, it all depends on the circumstances. And Marty tried to explain the circumstance to the guys that, you know, when I get sent out there and I'm told to do a job and that's what my job is and this is the outcome of it, well, nobody wants to listen to, like, the circumstances around it, but anyone that's lived it mm-hmm. or played it can have a better feel for the circumstances around the environment. And we just want to go from A to B. You did this, you're guilty, get out of the game and feel shame. And Marty's trying to explain all the details of it, but nobody ever found out the details. Nobody ever wanted to ask about the details. It was just like, just push him to the curb.
But I think he could have shown an ounce of remorse for slashing the guy in the head. Right? Like, I think that's probably what's the most upset. Like, he didn't.
If that's the only thing you need is Marty to shed a tear.
Well, no, just be like, yeah, I wish.
That's fine if you want it. You're not getting it.
And I mean, he's had 24 years or whatever it is to repurpose and sort of reorganize the events in a favorable way for him. And, you know,
the most famous one was Ted Green and this Wayne Mackey. I don't know. It was before my time, but that one was really bad.
Sure there's been other bad stick events, but I don't think that other people getting killed makes your murder okay. You know, like
it's not that it's okay. There's circumstances around it that should be heard.
Considered.
Yeah. But that's the part where, you know, Marty didn't ever get a chance to, nor did the NHL do an investigation or anything really comes to surface
if there was this culture that it created this position where he had to go out and do this. Donald Brashear was in that role too and would be understanding if he thought that was within the range of what that job was. And it sounds like he's never spoken to the man.
Yeah,
since.
He said that in the interview today.
You know, it doesn't seem like the other enforcer in this case looked at his actions and said, that was how we handle these things in our community. It seemed to be, you know, but it's funny to even have this conversation now, the way that Jason, Mike and Marty revisited this, like it was yesterday. It felt like not a day passed.
It felt like it could have been the next day.
Yes. Like he came on, he's talking about the stick hit his shoulder and it didn't, his head on the ice. Like Marty gets into the detail. It's like having OJ on there being like, you know, this is how I would have done it.
This is where I found the socks.
I got to tell you, it's rare that I go into an interview like that and I come out seeing totally both sides of the conversation. Yeah. Where I'm like, I think that Jason and Mike did a phenomenal job on the on like the Vancouver side of it, where it's like, if I'm a Vancouver fan, I'm like, yes. And then Marty McSorley, I'm like, oh my God, this guy's back. And I came out being like, all these guys nailed it. Yeah. Like, they all were like, it was. There's not many interviews like this anymore.
Marty hung in there.
Oh, yeah.
Marty hung in there. And he's trying to say that, like, this is how I got here. Does anybody care?
Right. And everyone else is saying, first, you have to care about the outcome.
Yes.
And then maybe we'll get there.
If you're waiting for Marty to shed a tear, you got the wrong guy.
And that was news to me. I didn't know that was how this stood with everyone involved.
Quick question. What's the most contentious interview we've ever had?
Oh, it's easy.
Had it with Matt.
No. Year one, we had Mitch Marner's skating coach on or something like that.
Oh, he buried you.
He didn't like a couple of things I had to say.
That was the same day we had Wayne Gretzky on.
Did we have Gretz?
We had Mitch Marner's skating coach.
No, we have to have.
Put Barney in a body bag.
I remember that differently, but all right.
No, I just remember he was all over.
I can't remember the details of that. You said he was a crappy skater?
No, no. I said that there was something that he couldn't do when I was at one of the development camps that he was working on, and the guy very much disagreed that he couldn't do it. And anyways,
I think he's doing okay now.
Who
cares? Anyways, interesting.
In one season, Marty McSorley, I was looking at his hockey DB, as I love to do. In 92-93 with the Los Angeles Kings in 81 games, he had 15 goals, 26 assists for 41 points, and 399 penalty minutes.
Is there anyone in the 40-point 400 PIM club in a season?
How is there enough ice time for that to happen?
I don't know, at least since I can remember, a guy go from Edmonton who was just 100% pure
muscle, just a meat
goon.
Yeah.
Muscle, protect Wayne, to turning himself into a player, a real player. Like, I think he's been the best out of all of them, that he ended up being such an important piece to the Los Angeles Kings when they came close to the Stanley Cup with Kelly Rudy and Wayne and against Montreal.
And it took time for his reputation to change. I don't know if people ever realized how effective he was as a player.
20 minutes a night?
Yeah.
Man.
And then fighting Proby.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, there, not many guys.
That's crazy.
Maybe none gone from that.
Nice light conversation to end the week, boys.
We have so much other stuff to talk about,
right,
too.
It's all right.
Were we supposed to do tweets?
Oh, we got to read some stuff. Don't we have a read to do?
No.
No?
What do you mean?
Oh, we got an email. We are supposed to read something. Anyway.
Well, thank God. Thank God I don't read emails.
We got a lot. We got a lot of people that were saying they were just being like, this was worse. This one was worse.
Okay, Chris which Simon, one? Tell me which one.
Chris Simon got 25 games for
Chris Simon.
Yeah.
Okay.
He, like,
and maybe one of the meanest guys in the history of the game.
And you fought him.
Vicious. Mm-hmm.
But, like, does anyone look back at that Chris Simon incident and go,
you know who it was on? It was on Ryan Holowegg. Ryan Holowegg was on the was he on the Islanders at the time?
Well, didn't he try to step on a guy's neck?
Yeah.
Which one do I remember, too? Another Vancouver Canuck. Jesse Beaulieu. Does that name sound familiar? Didn't he bury Ryan Kessler, too?
Yeah.
The low-key underrated one is Bill Guerin on Brett Drainey in preseason.
That was on his own team.
Dino Cicerelli took a huge swing at Luke Robitaille, too.
I think
Luke Bailey, Richardson,
one too.
Head coach of Chicago.
So we were talking about our boy Mayday, and I got a text from Kenny May.
Yeah, what'd he say?
He said that the guy Brad hit got a couple of stitches, and he was right back in the
game.
There
you go!
Canadian
there
boy.
There you go. 20 games,
Kenny.
And Brad May goes to Vancouver.
Check it out. No intention, just an errant stick.
Yeah, boy, Kenny.
And Brad May's like a king when he goes back to Vancouver.
Yeah.
A king.
Yeah.
Right?
He did nothing wrong.
Guys, I love this show. I love this show. We just spent 20 minutes yelling at each other about something
there
that happened in the year 2000.
Just a reminder, this hour Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. They're constantly betting against us, I think, on our show.
Excited for the Grey Cup. I'm excited for the Grey Cup. Sorry, bud. I know you don't care.
Chad Kelly's incident was just
gross.
Like, I watched it. Like,
he's a tough son of a gun. He tried to get up, stepped on it. It went a little floppy on him, and then he was sitting there like holding it, stone face. I was like, oh my God, I'd be screaming like a baby. Anyways, so yeah, big sports weekend.
Give me an over under
Of what
number? Score. Great Cup.
Argos are going to win. They're going to win 24-20. Argos.
And everyone enjoy your Taylor Swift concerts.
And the Toronto Maple Leafs against Edmonton Oilers.
Ooh. We really appreciate you sticking with us all week. Enjoy that Grey Cup. Enjoy Hockey Night in Canada. Our thanks to Luke Fox in the first hour, Doug McLean in the second hour. And if you get a chance, download us wherever you get your pod. Give us a rating and review. We always love to hear from you. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend, everybody.